All right, we've got Giants baseball coming up. It is going to be Sean Anderson on the hill and David Hess, and it is another game at Camden Yards, so we'll see what happens there. Joining us is Paul White. Of course, Paul is a wonderful baseball analyst and a writer, well-known all over the country through the USA Today and other publications, and we're just thrilled to have Paul all the time, but he's back in the Washington-Baltimore area, and he gets a good view of what's going on with this game and last night and everything else. So, Paul, nice to have you with us.
Great to be here, Marty.
Yeah, so here we go. I thought the Giants were up 5-0. You know, and here's the Orioles who just kicked the ball around. I mean, they couldn't even throw to third base without botching the ball up. And all of a sudden, Drew Pomerantz gave it back last night, and the Orioles, as teams do today, hit home runs.
Yeah, and in that ballpark, I mean, it's a real hitter-friendly ballpark, and they take advantage of that to a certain extent. They don't have a lot of big power guys, but guys, you know, I mean, let's face it, this is a roster of cast-offs. That lineup they put out there last night, five guys they picked up on waivers since the end of last season, and a Rule 5 guy. You know, I mean, Dwight Smith Jr., former prospect in Toronto, he'll hit a few home runs. That's nice. You know, guys like Rio Ruiz and Keon Broxton, who's been on like four teams already this year. You know, when this team ever gets to be good again, whenever that's going to be, probably none of these guys are part of it.
Nunez and Mancini, tell me, those two look like they are the rock of the team, so to speak.
Yeah, Mancini's a legit guy. He's come up through their system, solid player. You know, but one of those guys, you don't want to be the best player on your team. You want him to be a good piece of a nice lineup, but he's had to be a real key guy. I mean, Jonathan Villar at the top of the lineup gives him a legit major league infielder that can get on base, and that's fine. But, yeah, now they're piecing through. You know, Nunez is a guy they got on waivers from the Rangers. It was early last season. I mentioned Dwight Smith. Got him. He really Toronto put him on waivers. He was out of options, and the Orioles made a deal for him. You know, this is the kind of team it is, and you know, I think it's sort of instructive. You know, Giants fans kind of wondering what the future looks like as you start to rebuild. You kind of look at this team in Baltimore. And they started this process a year ago, you know, when they traded Manny Machado. They traded Jonathan Scope. They moved Kevin Gausman out of their rotation. They got rid of Zach Britton. They started this process, and it's going to take a while.
You know, the scary thing about the Giants is that this is year three, and they haven't started to rebuild yet. That's the scary thing, because they still have the core guys. And Farhan has come in, and he really hasn't been able to do anything other than manipulate the back end of the roster. So for the Orioles, at least they've torn it down, and they're well on their way. But for the Giants, it's just starting, and it's on the heels of two seasons two and a half seasons of really losing baseball. So that's the problem that they face. It's going to take them a while. But the Orioles get the first pick in the draft. Last first pick they had was Big Ben McDonald. In 1999, right. Who turned out to be a pretty good pitcher. But,
right. It doesn't turn you around automatically. And to be fair to the Orioles, I mean, they haven't gotten a lot out of these trades yet. The Machado trade, they got a bunch of pieces. The key element was a kid named Yuziel Diaz, an outfielder who's repeating Double A this year and doing okay, but not great. But you'd really, you know, even if the Giants – say they trade Baumgartner, say they trade some other guys and get a lot of pieces, it's not going to turn it around in a hurry. Whatever guys you get will help if you make the right trades, but you've really got to draft. And if you look at the Orioles system, it's not the guys that they got in those trades last year who are sitting around Double A and you're wondering if they're going to be any good. The strength in their system is just a real load of great young pitching, but way down at the Class A level. Who knows how many of these guys make it, and when are they going to get there?
Oh, Giants too. Paul White with us. Giant, you know, Sean Jelly and Wong and names that you don't know, Connor Menez and Logan Webb, and, you know, those are the guys. You're right. And this will be interesting, and I've said this on the show this morning over the next 2 months, they should trade every bullpen guy they got. because bullpen people are needed all over baseball, especially veterans, because the innings are going to wear everybody down by August and September. So, and you can get, if you get back 10 or 12 prospects, some real high, some, you know, sort of, you know, diamonds in the rough, so to speak. That's the way they have to do it. So we'll see where they go with it. But these next 2 months, I trade everybody. Anyone you can trade.
No, I agree. The bullpen guys will
they all should go.
You know, that'll give you a lot of depth in your system, and you're going to have to make that one big trade, whether it's Bumgarner, whether it's, I don't know, one
Smith.
Of the other guys.
They're both going. There's no question in my mind.
But they've got to, because you've got to make one trade that brings impact guys in. That's what the Orioles thought they were doing with Machado last year, and this kid Diaz and some of the other pitching pieces they got from the Dodgers. It remains to be seen. You know, and the Orioles fans are saying, well, where are these guys? Well, the Orioles are being smart. They're not ready for the major leagues, and they're taking their time. If you want to see, the Orioles are one of those teams that all their farm teams are within about a 100-mile radius, so the Orioles fans are like, if you want to see these guys, you better go to towns like Frederick and Bowie and
Norfolk.
That's where they are. Yeah.
All right. David Hess. Again, I think of David Hess. I think of the New York Jets owner for some reason. That name comes up. But 18 home runs already, Paul.
Yep.
And Giants don't hit a lot of home runs, but today right-handed hitters seem to 15 of 18 of the home runs, so maybe the Giants will do some damage today.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you looked at it from the Giants' standpoint last night. Hey, get all those runs, and boom, what happened? Well, in reverse, that's pretty much sums up the Orioles' season. They found a way to score a bunch of runs, but you can't imagine the number of games. They'll play the Yankees, you know, and they'll get four or five runs in the first three or four innings, and then they'll end up losing 13-7, you know. And then it's gone on and on, and their bullpen is even worse than the starting pitching. The only reason they don't get a lot of notice around here is nobody's going to the games, and secondly, the bullpen down the road in Washington might be historically bad, so and that's supposed to be a contender. But, yeah, the Baltimore relievers, it's been a shuttle to their farm team in Norfolk. They just move guys back and forth, in and out. They've got Dan Straley out there in the bullpen now because he's been a disaster as a starting pitcher. Michael Givens, who they thought was going to be a nice piece in their bullpen, has just given up tons of runs late in games. You're not out of it against these guys.
No. Well, Colorado showed that when they were out there.
Yeah.
How do you like Trevor Story? Did you see the numbers on him? I don't know if
seven RBIs last night.
Trevor Story, listen to this. 15 home runs. Ties him with J.J. Hardy for the most by a National League shortstop before June in a single season. He has just gone crazy here. The Colorado Rockies are scoring runs like they used to score in Colorado. They're getting a little bit of pitching. Not great, but all of a sudden Colorado's back in this thing.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's certainly because the wild card race in the National League is so wide open, just about everybody's there. I mean, there was a lot of talk here in Washington. What are they going to do? Are they going to start selling? And they made the point, we're only six games out of the wild card, and it's the 1st of June. But, the Rockies' starting pitching has been, in their minds, very disappointing. Kyle Freeland has been horrible, and they thought he was going to be a real key piece of what they're doing. They're going to need to get more starting pitching. But Story gets overshadowed because everybody just automatically talks about Nolan Arenado, and rightly so, and the guy's, world class. But Story, is done things that shortstops don't do. And, I know part of it's Colorado, but that's how they're going to have to win. And what is it, six in a row now for them? I think this morning they're a half game out of the wild card, and they've taken advantage of some bad teams, some bad pitching staff. So you mentioned what they did to Baltimore. Toronto is pretty similar, not a lot of depth, and you get into their bullpen, and that's a mess. So, they're taking advantage of the teams you've got to beat.
I like it. I like it. This wild card thing, and again, the National League is going to be wild. Unfortunately, the Giants are on the bottom of this thing, and
they're still ahead of Miami.
Yeah, barely. That was not simple. But we had Scott Merkin on today from MLB.com talking about the White Sox.
And, yes.
The White Sox are in second place. And again, we love baseball. It's as you said, it's June. You got 4 months. I love teams that sort of creep up, and all of a sudden you say, gee, they're still around, and the White Sox are basically still around, and usually by this time they're buried.
Right. I looked at it the other day, and I was like, they were going in, you know, Cleveland was coming into Chicago for a series. I'm like, wait a minute, they're two games apart. Well, yeah. And the White Sox have won the first two, now they're even, but they're both still under 500. The White Sox are a game under 500, and they're one game out of the wild card.
Yeah. I like it. And now young players are starting to, you know, Jimenez and Mercado and Abreu.
They're starting to get a little bit of consistency from some of their young pitchers. You know, we've got a couple of veteran guys in the bullpen. I mean, the scary thing over there is, you know, one of the teams that are a game behind in the wild card is Boston, who had that horrible start. They have their own issues, certainly. Another one of the teams is Oakland, who until the last couple of days was on a pretty good roll finally. But, you wonder if Cleveland or Boston or Oakland's going to get on a roll. But they've all got their own issues. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I like it. We also touched, Bruce Jenkins and I touched on the netting issue. And I want to get your opinion on this. The little girl was hit at the Cub game. Alberto Mora Jr., petrified and saddened. And his outpouring of grief for this little girl was very touching. I think baseball's going to react and just put the netting right down the line. I know in Japan they have it like a hockey thing. You know, it's circled all over the place.
Yeah, it's been there forever. And it's funny. It's interesting. They don't even put it up until after batting practice. So they let fans get balls in batting practice. But it's interesting. If you're there for batting practice and a ball is coming toward the stands, the ushers have whistles, like referees' whistles that they blow. And you keep hearing this noise. And you know, what is it? They're warning the fans, here comes the ball. But, why not? I mean, you know, we're talking about exit velocities that are going up and up and up, and whether it's the ball, you know, we're talking about home run distances and how the ball's flying. It seems like it continues to get harder and harder. I remember years ago in Baltimore that the players very quietly went to management and had management move the players' family seating from behind home plate. It was just to the right of where the protective netting was, and they were scared for their families, their kids. Mm. And they had the team quietly move the players' families away from those areas. So, it's been there. It's not, you know, it hasn't been a secret, and baseball's been remarkably lucky that there have been as few injuries as there have. And, it was a step last year to extend it even farther. Places like Yankee Stadium, where it's very tight, have always used extra netting during batting practice because the ball's going down the lines. But I think baseball, there's no harm. I mean, I go to hockey games a lot, and I sit on the ends, and they put up the netting years ago. You don't even notice it. You have no idea it's there.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The world has changed, and scoreboards, everyone's looking at something else other than the game.
They're looking at their phones,
All right. Hey, great to have you on, as always. If something crazy happens today, I'm calling you early tomorrow morning. So
I'll be here.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
That is the great Paul White.